she was forced to wash herself, and as water had to be carried from the very bottom of the five-story house up hundreds and hundreds of stairs to her room, she disliked having to use too much water. Her mother seldom washed at all. She held that washing was very unhealthy and took the natural gloss off the face, and that, moreover, soap either tightened the skin or made it wrinkle. Her own face was very tight in some places and very loose in others, and Mary Make-Believe often thought that the tight places were spots which her mother used to wash when she was young, and the loose parts were those which had never been washed at all. She thought that she would prefer to be either loose all over her face or tight all over it, and therefore when she washed she did it thoroughly, and when she abstained she allowed of no compromise. Her mother's face was the color of old, old ivory. Her nose was like a great strong beak, and on it the skin was stretched very tightly, so that her nose shone dully when the candle was lit. Her eyes were big and as black as pools of ink, and as bright as the eyes of a bird. Her hair also was black. It was as smooth as the finest silk, and when unloosened it hung straightly down, shining about her ivory face. Her lips were thin and scarcely colored at all, and her hands were sharp, quick hands, seemingly all knuckle when she closed them and all fingers when they were opened again. Mary Make-Believe loved her mother dearly, and her mother returned her affection with an overwhelming passion that sometimes surged into physically painful caresses. When her mother hugged her for any length of time, she soon wept, rocking herself and her daughter to and fro, and her clutch became then so frantic that poor Mary Make-Believe found it difficult to draw her breath. But she would not for the world have disrupted the career of her mother's love. Indeed, she found some pleasure in the fierceness of those caresses, and welcomed the pain far more than she reprobated it. Her mother went out early every morning to work, and seldom returned home until late at night. She was a charwoman, and her work was to scrub out rooms and wash down staircases. She also did cooking when she was asked, and needlework when she got any to do. She had made exquisite dresses, which were worn by beautiful young girls at balls and picnics, and fine white shirts that great gentlemen wore when they were dining, and fanciful waistcoats for gay young men, and silk stockings for dancing in. But that was a long time ago, because these beautiful things used to make her very angry when they were taken from her, so that she cursed the people who came to take them away, and sometimes tore up the dresses and danced on them and screamed. She used often to cry because she was not rich. Sometimes when she came home from work, she liked to pretend that she was rich. She would play at imagining that someone had died and left her a great fortune, or that her brother Patrick had come back from America with vast wealth, and then she would tell Mary Make-Believe of the things she intended to buy and do the very next day. Mary Make-Believe liked that. They were to move the first thing in the morning to a big house with a garden behind it, full of fruit trees and flowers and birds. There would be a wide lawn in front of the house to play lawn tennis in, and to walk with delicately fine young men with fair faces and white hands, who would speak in the French language and bow often with their hats almost touching the ground. There were to be 12 servants, 6 of them men servants and 6 of them women servants, who would instantly do as they were bidden and would receive 10 shillings each per week and their board. They would also have 2 nights free in a week, and would be very well fed. There were many wonderful dresses to be bought, dresses for walking in the streets, and dresses for driving in a carriage, and others again for riding on horseback and for traveling in. There was a dress of crimson silk with a deep lace collar, and a heavy wine-colored satin dress with a gold chain falling down in front of it, and there was a pretty white dress of the finest linen, having 1 red rose pinned at the waist. There were black silken stockings with quaint designs worked on them, in red silk, and scarves of silver gauze, and others embroidered with flowers and little shapes of men and women. When her mother was planning all these things, she was very happy, but afterwards she used to cry bitterly.